Oh my days. Hey everybody, it is Broad Street to Britain with me, Dave Shaw. Last night, what a night, what a special, special night.
A high fly ball to deep left field. How about this story? A solo home run, and it was a monumental one.
Castellanos,
the opposite way, going back is Thomas to the scoreboard. That's two! And it's number 200 for Castellanos. 3-2 pitch. Swung on, popped up, shallow center field. Rojas sprinting in, he's under it. He has space, makes the catch, and Michael Lorenzen has thrown the 14th no-hitter in Philadelphia Phillies history.
Oh, my days. It happened, guys. It happened. What a night. It is me, Dave Shaw, and I am joined by Ryan Owen. Ryan, how are you, buddy? The day after the night before.
It was such an early night for a UK fan. There were no hits, baby. It was easy. Easy.
Did you watch it this morning when you got up? Did you know what happened first?
I was actually following along. At first, I was like following along on at bat. And then we get to about inning number 5 and I'm sort of tuned in watching the game. So at that point, I was just in. And I didn't say anything in any of the groups because I could see a few people saying, shut up, don't say anything,
yeah,
you're not allowed.
That was interesting, the UK Phil's group chat.
Yeah, so I was just being quiet. I wasn't really chancing it, but I was up. That was something. I'm just glad that I managed to stay up for it because it was there was just so much going on. It wasn't just the no-hitter, was it? It was just everything was just electric.
you couldn't script it. You know, Phillies just seem to have the wildest of scripts. You know, it's not just a no-hitter. It's not just one thing. It's Weston Wilson. It's Nick Castellanos, 200 home runs. It's Trey Turner, leadoff, you know, smashing it. You know, Alec Bohm adding two RBIs. Rojas continues his hot streak. Harper continues his hot streak. It was just, it was unbelievable. Liam, did you watch it live? Did you manage to catch up with it this morning? How did it go down for you, buddy?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I stayed up for it. Yes. I'm normally the off limits for the really late ones, but I suppose like what was it 11:30 start, a little bit earlier than some of these later ones. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna keep in touch with the first couple of innings and hopefully drift off to a nice snooze. It was a good start as well. That kind of like woke me up a little bit, and then I had that moment where I'm really feeling right. I better get to sleep. And then I've looked at the box and I've noticed something. I'm like, hold on a second. There is there's a Scottish play here, isn't there? There's a thing that shall not be named. So then my head really started to turn its gears. And yeah, I had no hope of sleep. And I'm just so glad it paid off. It was incredible. And somehow I managed to not wake up and annoy my other half as well in the process.
We're exactly the same. These earlier, slightly earlier games sort of, they hook you, don't you?
They tease you in.
It does. It's like 11:30. All right, I can watch a couple of innings. And I wasn't going to because I watched both games of the doubleheader the night before. So I thought, no, early night, I've got to catch up on sleep. I'm knackered. But of course, it gets to like 11:15. You're thinking, I could probably hold on 15 minutes for the first couple of innings. And by rule of thumb, I will never go to sleep until the opposition has had a hit because of the fear of missing a no-hitter. And it got to like the Phils flew out in front, and I thought, great, that we're going to win this. You know, this should be in the bag. You know, Lorenzen's dealing. And they got to their fifth inning. I'm like, I could deal with the Nationals possibly getting a hit now, so I can go to sleep. You know, come on, we're not going to get no hitter, are we? Are we? And it got to the sixth, and I'm like, all right, okay. If you're no hit this damn thing, no hit it because there's no in between now. We're getting to the point of no going back. I might as well stay up for it. And then just as the innings went on, you know. Thank goodness we added on in the seventh because I never felt safe, even with a 5-0 lead. We've seen the Phils go 5-0 in front and, you know, then get pulled back, crucial bottom of the seventh. And it's just the crescendo of the top of the ninth when he came back out because there was that doubt of, is he going back out? Is he not going back out? Marte's warming up, you know, are they going to throw in Soto? What are they going to do? And he comes back out and I got chills watching him walk back out and the crowd rising to their feet, cheering. It's like, wow. You know, that was one of the lowest crowds of the season. There's still 30,000 fans there. And the noise was unbelievable. And then, yeah, like you two both said, you're hooked. The adrenaline is pumping through you. Like, you know, the pictures of his wife and his mum his wife holding his baby. You're like, I could sense that, like, if he does this, I think I'm going to go. I'm getting emotional. I'm going to go here. And it was just unbelievable. But let's take it back to the beginning slightly. Do you remember when the lineup was released and Twitter was in a little bit of a meltdown? What's Topper doing? What is his lineup? What's going on? Ryan, you know, that lineup was like, but for me, every time we put that lineup out, we win. Every time people go, Topper doesn't know what he's doing. What lineup is that? We pull these games out of the bag, and Topper did it again.
I tried to stay relaxed about lineups as a fan, because the minute that you rinse one, especially if you're going to post it publicly, it normally backfires and you're going to get retweeted or quoted or something about what moron you are. I mean, at the end of the day, the coaches do know the players inside out, and the players speak to the coaches as well. So you've got to trust. If you trust your manager, you've got to trust that they're giving Schwarber the day off for a reason. There was a doubleheader the day before. I know some of them sat in one of the games of the doubleheader as well, so there were question marks. But you've just got to sort of trust that Topper knows what he's doing, and he normally does. It doesn't mean they're always going to win. But I just think that the fact that Lorenzen came in the trade, and the big question mark about him was, how much has he got left in the tank? He's never gone over 100 innings before. They were the question marks. And this guy just comes in, just the bullpen hasn't even been needed with him. It's been absolutely incredible. Both starts have been incredible, and he's setting himself a very high bar. You know, he really is.
Yeah, if he allows two runs next game, he's a dud. That's it. He's cooked, finished, washed.
It's so heartwarming, mate. You're right, with the family, with his mum who was, you know, apoplectic. Yeah, it was so heartwarming, everything about it, and the contributions from not just the offense, who were great, but defensively. I mean, Rojas in center field is just like, it's a joy to watch. Bryce Harper's playing first base for a no-hitter, where there were a couple of plays, the first baseman in this league, you know, they're not the simplest of plays on a couple of the throws over from Alec Bohm, who was contributing as well. So there was just so, everything about it, including the fact that the first attempted hit by the Nationals in the whole game was quite a loud one from CJ Abrams.
It's a good point.
Just great. I can't believe he did it.
It's amazing. And, you know, I trust Topper. And, you know, as many have said, I think Jack Fritz put the point across brilliantly. We're three games clear in the wild card now, three and a half. It's a Nationals team that we should have enough to beat anyway. Even if it's our B team, we should have enough to beat that Nationals team. We're on a real thick run of games right now. We haven't got a day off until Monday. We're in a stretch of like 16, 17 straight games with no day off. You've got to give them a day off at some point. You know, we're clearing the wild card now. You know, even if we did drop a game, it's not the end of the world. The D-back Marlins, Reds, Brewers are in such poor form. The Cubs have cooled off now as well. The Giants are coming back, are really slumping again. You know, dropping a game isn't a disaster. You know, we're not in the thick of it now. I think the Phils are in a nice position where you can start to rest players a little bit more, because we need him in September. We need him for October. You know, if we can get through August, we can get through this stretch while resting a couple of players every so often. Give him a day off. Keep him fresh for the main stretch and still remain top of the wildcard places. That, to me, is crucial. I want these players as fresh as possible going into September and October. So I'm quite fine with him resting Bohm, resting Stott. You know, Stott should play every single day. I'm worried about burning him out. I don't want him burnt out, absolutely done by the time we get to end of September, October. I'm happy with these days off. Keep them fresh. Keep them rolling. And our backups are good. You know, Johan Rojas, excellent. Jake Cave's been providing. Look, for example, I forgot his name, the new lad at third base. He came in the trade deadline. Come on, Ryan, I've got a mind blank.
Oh, yeah, Castro.
Castro. He's doing all right. He's putting some good at-bats. I feel he just needs a hit to get him going. Stubbs is contributing. He's getting some loud hits as well. But the man, best defensively out of all of them, and Liam, I thought he was excellent yesterday. JT Realmuto called the game superbly. Like Lorenzen said, didn't have to shake him off once. And, you know, JT gets a bit of slack, you know, for his offense. His bats go cold, very streaky. But he showed yesterday for me why he is one of, not if the best catcher in baseball, for his calling of the game alone yesterday.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought him up, because if no one did, I think I was going to at some point. to think we're in an era now where international fans get to watch these Hall of Fame little clippets between the games. And one of those sound bites that gets repeated over and over and over again is the whole thing. It's not just the pitcher who's throwing the game. It's the catcher who's calling the shots. And you just hear that in every game. And it just it really applies here. And what I really like about that for JT is that, you know, we keep calling him the best catcher in baseball. He really is up there. We really feel like we're going to look back at him once he's retired as like one of those Phillies greats. And where there were moments where we weren't sure if he was staying and the team wasn't doing great, we're like, how much of a mark will he truly be able to make? But things like playing in the World Series, having those really big moments. I remember like the inside the park home run, being instrumental in a couple of those games. And now this is all going towards his legacy. And it's really going to make sure whether we see JT win a World Series in a Phillies uniform or not, we're getting to the point with performances like this. As you know, only one team out of 30 can win it, but there's no denying that JT is having just a tremendous run. So I'm really glad this is just reinforcing the case that he's an all-time Philly great.
He is. Ryan, would you go along with that? Up there with the likes of Chooch and the all-time greats?
Yeah, I mean, the trade itself, which wasn't... you know, it was a popular trade for Real Muto because he was already an established catcher.
Sixto Sanchez was part of that trade, yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a big trade, and it was like, we're giving up a really good prospect. It's worked out beautiful. I mean, Sixto has barely pitched for Miami through injuries mainly. I don't know whether the Phillies had the inside track on some of his arm issues, knowing him a bit better than the Marlins did, I don't know. But it's worked out an absolute treat because he has been that one bit of the lineup since that trade that he's in. I mean, obviously he gets his days off as a catcher, but he is a bona fide everyday. Oh, and it's the defensive stuff, as you say, but he has a bit of speed. He's a good hitter. He does get hot. He has power. He's a superb catcher. And I mean, I loved Carlos Ruiz, but probably out and out in terms of everything that he's bringing to the table. If you were putting them next to each other, well, I won't do that in case I get any abuse online.
Play it safe, Ryan.
I loved Carlos.
Speaking of Ruiz, actually, one thing I was curious about before we came onto this thing was, especially because I'm not an encyclopedia knowledge, and I was curious, like, who has caught the most no-hitters? And Ruiz, I think Ruiz is tied for four. Can't remember who else it was. Someone else will know this and just look at this podcast and spout, oh, it's, you know, but I looked it up and Ruiz is tied for four. And I'm thinking to myself,
I've got three. I've got the two. Did he catch the two Doc ones?
Is it?
Sure.
And then Cole Hamilton,
Now that I've pulled this up.
That's a great point. God, yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, go on, boys. But get on to it. I'll pile in the meantime. The first known hitter since Cole Hamels, which I remember well, that was the day game against the Cubs. And ironically, on the week that Cole Hamels announces his retirement, comes Lorenzen on his home debut as well, and just smashed it out the park. Corners who, I don't know about you guys, but even when he came out for the eighth, ninth inning, I felt confident he was going to do it. You know, the Nationals are swinging out all sorts at that point. I think the Nationals sort of, even that final two at-bats, you know, they didn't look that disappointed that they'd been struck out and they'd popped out, did they? And while they're both researching. So while they do that, I'll go back to the very beginning. Weston Wilson. Now, we discussed Weston Wilson quite a bit on this podcast. At the start of the season, spring training, he'd really impressed us. I think he hit the very first home run of spring, which immediately caught our eye. Had been smashing it in spring. We had the big Weston Wilson, Scott Kingery comparison when they were both being rumored to come up at the same time. In the end, it was Drew Ellis. And then Wilson gets his moment now. First at bat, and it was crushed. Absolutely off the bat, you just knew straight away. Like, John Kruk has the best read of anybody. It's the moment it leaves the bat, he's a reaction. In fact, just before it hits the bat, he seems to know. You get the, oh, God, oh, yes. And seeing his family celebrate, the whole dugout going crazy for Weston Wilson, that Liam as well, was just, can you believe it? You know, that moment alone was one of the moments of the season. But in the grand scheme of the big things of yesterday, that was probably the second biggest moment. But what a moment it was.
Oh, yeah. And tidbits of commentary aside, as he's coming up to play and things like this, I was really backfed the whole story with him. A lot of this I was learning, like, as it was, as this moment's hit, commentary, like, couldn't stop, Twitter couldn't stop, and understandably so. But a lot of this and the significance of it and the backstory, I'll be the first to admit, like, a lot of this is coming to me after he's hit this. But at the time, it was just a case of, yeah, there's a bit of rotation going on here. You just don't want to see the guy, like, not get a single hit in the entire game. So I'm thinking, you get this hit in this first period, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then, wow, no, I did not expect that. It was amazing to watch. And not even knowing exactly everything else that was coming in this game. Because at the time it was just, right, let's make this a bit more of a lead. And that was the solo shot that started to make you look like, yeah, it would take a bit of a silly I know we gave up that grand slam to the Nationals not long ago, where we had a nice.
Like, I was there. I was at that game.
So that's when four runs. You get to that point, right? We are now sort of in the zone, and that's the biggest thing that was on my mind at the time. And then you just hear these tidbits, and they go back to it in the replay, and you're like, wow, this really is something really amazing. And then, as you said, Nick and the no-hitter on top, it's like...
it was just unbelievable. You know, and I was thinking at the time, that's probably... That I was just debating to myself, because when he hit it, I got off my seat. I was like, get in! He's got it! He's done it! And he absolutely crushed it. And then I was thinking, like, is that as big as Trey's ovations? Is that the moment of the season right there? Is that one of the moments of a regular game season? You know, I was thinking back to Luke Williams's, you know, walk off that story, incredible story with Luke Williams. I was just thinking, what a moment that was. And then literally the next couple of at-bats later, Nick Castellanos comes up and gets his 200th career home run. And all of a sudden, you could just feel something in the air happening, couldn't you? It was just a bit of magic. It was a bit of magic right there, but never did I expect it to go to a no-hitter. And it was amazing seeing Weston Wilson's family all going crazy, you know. And again, when you see those reactions of the families, it sort of brings home the effort and the hardmanship of seeing your son finally make, you know, all those years in the minors, you know, without, he's 28, he's come along really late, you know, getting to the borderline of where is he ever going to make it to the majors? And to finally get that chance and go, yeah, and just see the reaction of him, the players in the dugout, his family, the fans, it brings it home of, wow, you know, what a moment. What a moment for him, what a moment for his friends, what a moment for his family. And it's just that smile as he was rounding the bases. It was just incredible. And then, you know, Liam, little Liam, it was everywhere that game, going off, hugging the family, then getting back down in time for Nick's 200th. Career home run. You just felt, you know, it was a real, that was the theme of the night, family, you know, the closeman, how close his team is to the players, to Topper, to the fans, to family. And it is one big family. And you were just getting, that was the story of the night, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of something I touched upon earlier, and it really comes to fruition now, in that you do spend a lot of time with that. Like baseball fans, sports fans, you always know, like, especially if you follow certain teams, the chances of that big payoff moment, that big championship moment, it's never a guarantee. Some people are very lucky to see one in their lifetime. Some people are, you know, quite spoiled and they get quite a few.
Yeah.
But when it comes to what really, you know, those sort of things, without buying a ticket in the raffle of getting that championship moment, and who knows what is in our future. What are the moments that really make you smile and be proud to be part of a community? And yeah, as you said, Dave, the Phillies are just dealing these like moment after moment at the moment. You say about the long way up for Wilson, and it makes me think even not too long ago of Mark Apple. We're a similar story.
Mark Appel, yeah.
Not as dramatic as this one, but still just such a nice feel-good moment when he came out and, you know, pitched some solid innings. Didn't last long, but it's just a really good feel-good moment. The trade, you and I have spoken offline so many times about the Alec Bohm redemption last year. Was an absolute seller for me, a huge one for me. And Trey Turner, very, very much along those lines as well. Just seeing those powerful characteristics that really dispels that rancid, Philadelphia sports fans are the worst sort of lazy rhetoric, and you see it here that sometimes it's not a case of that. It's just a case of really high bridled passion, but it pays off in the best of ways when everyone's playing ball, and that's what these guys are doing. And you hear the stories, and you see struggling players really try and make the effort, and every time, every day, the Philadelphia sports fans are there with them if they're making that effort.
Another great thing about this is that it's yet another player that we have called up from the minors who has given us an instant impact. How many times, you know, Duenas wasn't here for long, but he gave us those two home runs against the Nationals, which played a massive part. Jake Cave has had a couple of bombs. Clemens has hit some bombs and made an impact. Rojas has been fantastic so far since coming up. You know, last year, Maton, Veerling, you know, Derek Hall at the time. It's just incredible to keep calling these guys up for as long as it may be, and they're playing such big parts in this season. And Ryan, it's just a reflection of the guys in the minors are ready to come straight up and make instant impacts. And it's just great to see. And, you know, gives us so many fans favorite, because we love nothing more than seeing youngsters come through that have been watching down in the minors in spring training come up and make a big impact.
Yeah, I think it's partly a culture thing, and in that the professional players, the MLB players, are creating this vibe of you are welcome here, please come up, please contribute to the big league club, and that's a massive part of it. The fans are bought in. You are just now, Dave, getting excited about Rojas. But also, some of these players are just good baseball players. Like, I really do think that Wes Wilson is someone that can contribute between now and the end of the season and maybe beyond, because he's got power. He's got a bit of speed. He's got versatility. I mean, he made quite a nice play out in left field, actually, where the ball was sort of early on, the ball needed catching quite near to the seats. And it should be made, but for a rookie that's in their first game at Citizens Bank Park, he made it look pretty cool, to be honest. And then the home run as well. Just more like, well, that came first, actually. And then later
on. Yeah, I was going to say, the home run. Lorenzen and then the moment. And then he stole a base, got three runs in the game. Yeah, he had himself a night. You know, if it wasn't for Lorenzen, you know, we would have been to put Weston Wilson, and we still are, rightfully so. But he would have been.
I wonder if he's a bit like, what the hell? I had the headlines.
My headlines.
I don't think he'd be like that at all.
No, not at all. I don't think any of them would be like that in that team, because the chemistry is unmatched. And
he can't keep the ball now, though. Hang on. So he can have the home run ball. And then, but all of the other like bits of memorabilia from the game, every single bit is going to go to Michael Lorenzen.
it's crazy. And it's amazing how, you know, it's all come from the week of the Trey Turner ovations. You know, did the fans turn the season around? Is this on us? Did we do this? You know, is this magic coming from us? It would just add to the magic if it was, you know. Imagine if now the Phillies get hot, go on and get within 7-6 games of the Braves going into September. Do we then believe that? What a charge that's going to be, because we've still got to play them 7 times.
Dave, the sheer audacity, and this is why I love you, mate, the sheer audacity of you taking the credit for, or us taking the credit for, these guys' years of hard work through high school, college, and we're just going, well, yeah, we're sat there eating nachos, but it was all me.
That was us. That no-hitter? Us.
up until your last trip over there, Dave, I think you might have actually had a case, because didn't you just go over and everything you touched turned to gold?
That is true.
It wore off against the Nationals last time out. It was all going so well until the Grand Slam, which is why I wanted more runs against the Nationals, because any no lead was safe. That was Ranger Suarez's first dip of the year. And he gave up that Grand Slam, and then we just couldn't. We had no reply. Pesky Nats. But you want to just... I've watched... I don't know about you guys. You probably... everyone who's watching and listening is probably the same right now. I've watched the clips over and over again of the different camera angles, the interviews, the ballpark cam from MLB Network, which is fantastic. You can see all the reactions. And I don't know about you guys in terms of favorite bits from the night, but the ballpark cam of when it's caught, Rojas just jumping for joy. There's so much going on. I've watched that angle so many times. There's so many reactions and so many cool celebrations. But the highlight of everybody going into a scrum and sort of going towards third base, and about 10 seconds later, Brandon Marsh is hobbling along, trying to catch them all up, is just classic. The Nick Castellanos, if you haven't seen it, there's an angle from looking at down at first base into right field, and it's in slow motion as the ball is popped up by the Nationals player. And Nick is just, all he's doing is looking at Lorenzen for his reaction. All his eyes are focused on Lorenzen. And when it's caught, Lorenzen raises his hands and Nick is just motionless. He is just, it's like he's taking in the moment. He's just watching Lorenzen. Then they all go running off and Nick is just looking at Lorenzen. And then he looks around, just takes it all in. I love that. Love that reaction.
Were they on Detroit at the same time? It's a good question, isn't it?
I don't know.
Because that would make sense. I don't think they would have been.
No, I don't think they would.
I wonder if they just know each other in general because of, like, I mean, obviously baseball's a big community, but yeah, that's pretty neat to watch someone just, although it's a good idea.
He put his arm around him and seemed to have a good one-to-one with him at times. And then you had the Toppers, you know, the Toppers, it's like postseason vibes. Topper in the locker room giving a speech. The interview after with Lorenzen, what a guy. The first time I properly heard him, like for many of us, stand there and talk to the media and you get a bit of learn about him. And what a lovely, humble guy. You know, the chat with T-Mac, you know, on the field with the daycare, drenching him in a big barrel of Gatorade and water and, you know, talking about his dad and just saying a lot of things that we can all resemble with as well. And just, it just added to the magic of the night. Liam, what was your... any highlights that you had watching back of last night and the celebrations and the chaos that ensued?
Yeah, I think talking about that moment with Castellanos watching Lorenzen's reaction, I honestly think that's, more than anything, that's almost symbolic of what this team is built on, and that is the emotions and the reactions and that and the feels. And it leads to some really frustrating moments at times, but it leads to these amazing things. And like we said earlier, it gives you just that much feel good, that much value, whether there's championships, whether there's wins, whether there's not, is you feel like the ride is worth it. It just really sums it up. And the other moment stuck out for me, it was a bit of an awkward, bittersweet one, but like not in a way where anyone's a guilty party or anything, but when you say about the T-Mac interview, I couldn't help but notice that when he's asking about it, he went to the topic of his father, like, straight away, no buffers, no lead up to it. He's going straight, oh, your dad. And Lorenzen's a bit, I think he was a bit caught off guard by how quickly it was. And obviously a very emotional subject. He's struggling to compose himself. And he's kind of been saved by the Gatorade.
Yeah, he was. I'll tell you what, it was quite touching. He said, T-Mac, I agree, actually. It was quite, you know, I think he was a little bit frozen. Like, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but thinking about it. And he got quite emotional, a little bit choked up. And he said he'd probably say, attaboy, you know, way to finish it. And then Bryson Stott comes in and drenches him saying, attaboy. That was probably nothing, but it was a nice little coincidental 5 seconds, you know. It was great. Ryan, what about you? The celebrations, any highlights, anything that you've watched over and over again, just enjoyed watching it all back?
Yeah, it's just a case of there's these moments in Philly sports where the fans come together and everything, the ballparks, like you said, wasn't that busy, but the investment from the fans makes you want to keep watching it because it just brings that broad smile to your face every time you do. I mean, obviously, there's like the major moments of like the Nick Foles moment in the Super Bowl and the sort of Brad Lidge dropping to his knees, and there you're sort of like bona fide, definite, you've just won a championship. But then these like smaller, still big events, no hitters, just winning really important games, clinching pennants.
Yeah, teams on a random Wednesday night.
It's huge. And you, and what's nice is Lorenzen might not be a Philly for very long, but you will always go back to this little snippet of his career where it's come together for someone that was actually not even really a starting pitcher for most of his career. He wanted to be, but he hasn't been. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I think it's just nice to see someone who's only... Yeah, he's played two starts for the Phillies, and for it to bring that amount of emotion, it's like you are a Philly now, and that says a lot.
And listening to him after saying how hard it's been for him, how he's been nothing but trials for him. You know, it's amazing. Weston Wilson and him seem to have quite a similar path. You know, tough to get breakthrough, really breakthrough. You know, because these guys grind. They grind and grind. And out of the thousands of minor league players, just think only the select few get chosen. And when you have your moment, like those two did last night, to and the way they took it, you could see the outpouring of emotion. That's what got me. And from the friends and family as well, the outpouring of emotion from them. It just gives you a glimpse of how hard and how tough for everyone, not just the players, but for the friends and family, how tough it is at everybody. And the, like I said, the outpouring of emotion when you have that moment, you know, a no-hitter, you know, and a first home run in your first career, that is special. That and on the same night, like what's the actual percentage chance of that?
Yeah, I mean, for him on a personal level as well, I mean, he will be doing this and feeling excited for all the reasons you've just listed, but he's about to hit the free agent market after all of those trials and tribulations trying to establish himself somewhere in the major league. So he is putting himself on a big stage in Philadelphia, potentially heading into the playoffs, for everyone to see that I can go six innings regularly. I can win games. I do have good command of my pitches. I'm a good starting pitcher. He must be absolutely over the moon for a million reasons.
Absolutely. And boys, I just put it on Twitter before the show. Where does this rank in regular season games? And for me, it's right up there. Just for the no-hitter, the first one since Cole Hamels, only the second one I've ever seen. For the Phils, but the Weston Wilson moment, the Castellanos moment, topped with the whole Turner stuff and how the things just starting to turn around. I think this is one of the best regular season games I've ever seen. It was just magic. And I feel now the Phillies are really on a wave, a crest of a wave. Momentum is really with them. So for me, it's up there. You know, Luke Williams, that home run, that walk-off was another big highlight. I love moments like that. The Cole Hamels no-hitter was up there. For you two as well, right, it's going to rank up there for everybody, but whereabouts in any other moments in regular season games that you can think of in recent history or in past that are up there with moments like that? Liam?
For me, as you said, this one's up there. It is very, very high. And I feel like years on from now, it's just how high it is going to really be solidified. But when you pose that question, it feels like the ones, and there's been some big ones, but the ones that really resonate for me, because I might have touched upon this like ages ago before when I've come on here and when I've spoken to people and touring things like that and spoken to people at bars about my Phillies fandom, is it feels like it has gone on for a little while now. It goes just before the two back-to-back World Series. But back then, my actual knowledge, my interest, my passion, it really wasn't that high, and it has basically just ticked up and escalated to the point now where I'm pretty much bleeding white and red, and it's just probably the thing I prioritise the most. And the games that really hit that sort of shortlist with this one are the ones that have kind of just, I could feel myself levelling up as a Phillies fan watching those games or hearing about those games, recapping those games. And one of those ones that springs to mind was May 29th, 2010. It was a day after my 25th birthday, was when Roy Halladay was perfect. I believe it was perfect or no hit. Obviously, that was the year where he did it twice, won the postseason. But that regular season one was like, you know, we've not far off the back-to-back World Series with this amazing squad. It's really starting to get my attention. I'm starting to get the machinations and wanting to learn more. And I hear about this, I'm like, oh, wow, I need to know more about it. And Doc was immediately, I mean, it's no big news story, but obviously Doc Calabay was a big player in my fandom from then on. The Bryce Chicago Cubs comeback where he walked it off after they were 5-1 down. That's another one.
Oh, my God, original from John Crook.
Yeah. And that's another one where I've gone from being quite interested for them to all right, now I'm starting to get really, you just sit back and think to yourself, like, before and after these games, the interest level and the amount you're willing to look up online, the rabbit holes you go down and the amount of games you watch going forward just goes up. So they're almost like landmarks in the timeline for me. And I think this is one.
Point.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and I wonder now, with you saying that, like, maybe newer fans watching over in America or even over here, I've just seen the Wilson home run itself was special, but the no-hitter, and hopefully it's now we've got a bit of interest over here. Hopefully this really helps some perhaps newer fans to the sport, to the Phillies, just grab them a little bit more. You know, come in, it's okay. This team is going to break you, but it's going to be okay.
With the London series announced as well, you've got this, makes the headlines, international fans hear about it, and then it's, oh, by the way, the Phillies are coming over and they're playing a team who are probably
going to... It was on the BBC this morning, on the website. Yeah, I saw it this morning. Ryan, how about you? You know, regular season games before I get to everyone on Twitter. What about you? Any up there, number one, number top five? I mean, where are you?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's nice that you guys have touched on a couple that are... Yeah, you've touched on a couple that are great. I mean, obviously, the perfect game from Halliday against the Marlins was huge. One that springs to my mind, you've asked me this question, is in the 2007 season when we were chasing down the Mets. Now, it's going back in my mind a little bit, but there was a key game where they were 5 runs to the good against the Mets, and the Mets had a nice division lead, but the Phillies were closing in, and they were getting hot. You know, like this old thing of the Phillies getting hot. And they had a 5-run lead. They blew that. They got back in front by 3. They blew that. And then in the final, in the 9th inning, Chase Utley hit an RBI single to sort of walk the game off. And it just crushed. It crushed the Mets. And I think the Phillies were still 2 or 3 games back at that point. But it had come down from about 9 or 10 in the space of about 11 games. And you just knew that the Mets were losing that division, and they did.
It was the Kevin Keegan moment, is what you're saying.
I love it.
The end of that season was, it was crazy. That was, so whilst there was nothing sort of historically significant in it, in the sense of a no-hitter or a 4-run home run game or anything like that, it was just a key comeback at a key moment that was just bang. You could put your finger on absolutely when that turned.
Absolutely. And imagine if it happened this year with the Braves so far out in front. And, you know, we played them in the last week of September. And, you know, it's not out the realms of possibility yet. I remember in the barren years, was it 2015, 2016? No, I mean 2017. The Vince Velasquez outfield assist, the Roman Quinn pitching, Phil's going on to win that. That was an incredible one. But yeah, that for me, watching live, and there's obviously Wheeler's one-hit shutout of the Mets on Doc's night, which was really special because he just swept the Mets as well. And at the time, you felt like the Phils were going to win the division. You know, finally, we're going to break the drought, the playoff drought. And unfortunately, tailed off after that. We couldn't capitalize the momentum, but that game was really significant for me. But that for me is top for, you know, a regular season game. The emotions of last night just gripped in that 8th and 9th inning. Like I couldn't go on my phone. I kept off my phone. I was just locked in, absolutely locked in. Let's see what you guys on Twitter had to say quickly. Ethan at Faithful says top 5. I rank it above Cole Hamels no-hitter for the fact that it was a no-hitter, had a Wilson home run, Cassidy hitting 200 dingers. That's three milestones. Yeah, I agree. For me, it's above Cole for those other reasons as well. Just the night as a whole, special. Jersey girl Amy says, been a diehard fan for 43 years, and excluding the World Series wins and 80 and 08, that was the most magical, emotional, incredible game I can remember. Top three in my lifetime, no doubt. That's how special it was. You know, people are watching for 43 years up there. That's what we witnessed last night. It was up there. You know, there were many fans so emotional. I was emotional at the end. You know, watch. I nearly lost it when I saw his mum crying, his mum, you know, his wife losing it. I'll tell you what, I lost it again when they were waiting for Lorenzen to come back from the interview. They all went by dugout, and there was a shot of Wilson just embracing his wife for a long time, you know, and again, you got that moment of the struggle's real, but now they've got there, and it's just a moment of realization that they've made it, they've done it. And it was not looked upon much. Obviously, it was Lorenzen's moment, but just watching those two embrace for a long time, I was like, oh man, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
It was so cool with the way on the call as well, wasn't it? When it was like, oh, you only get one chance to hit a home run in your, your major league debut. And then you go, like, what great commentary that, like.
There was some great from Fransky and T-Mac and Krug. I think they all smashed it yesterday. I thought T-Mac, the build-up to the no-hitter to actually happening was brilliant. That was T-Mac at his very, very best. And why him and Fransky and Krug, Larry, they're all some of the best in the business. Because I thought both, I've heard all the clips from throughout the game and they nailed it. They absolutely added to the occasion. Toastman from Philly says, all time. Well, I'm probably a good person to ask. I'm old. Best ones I remember. 2 a.m. game via the Padres, 94. 1980 clincher versus the Expos at Montreal. 10-0 via the Pirates at home. Battled back and won the Von Hayes team. Dodgers LA, about 9 runs down to come back as Lazarda was livid. Robert Anderson says, death in top 10. Middle-aged trainer says, high on my list. It cements that we're worthy enough to be a wild card team and hopefully go on to the World Series. It certainly left a lot of us feeling, you know what? There's something about this team again. There really is something about this team. Alfonso says, top five for sure. Doc's perfect game. Cole's no-hitter. Last game ever as a Philly before, of course, that, who retired this week. Cliff Lee's 10-inning one hitter would have been ahead of it, but the loss makes that probably four in five of my list. That's a good point. Cliff Lee, yeah, 10-inning one hitter that feels well to lose. So Philly, so Philly. What else we got here? Jay from PA says, last night's Philly game ranks third for me behind the last game of 2007 regular season, in which the Phils clinched their first postseason spot in 14 years, and Roy Halladay's perfect game against the Marlins in 2010. UK expats is one of the best, second only to Doc's perfect game. Sue says it's up there, but in 2007, again, 2007, last day, the Phils clinching the league. Come from that massive deficit. Wow, I so wish I was a fan back then. Damn it, please, Phil, just do it again this year. Just let me have that against the Braves. Bell said, definitely pretty high on my list. Just so many great moments in one game. Robert said, when you think about the storylines of the last night's game, I'll go one better. Top four, Castellanos, 199, 200, with his son Liam taking the reins as the unofficial team ambassador, mascot. You know, he was everywhere. It was awesome to see Wilson's home run in the first big league at bat and Lorenzen's no-no, special night for sure. Yeah, everybody on Twitter has, you've all got it up there. It's all, you know, the last game in 2007, the perfect game from Doc, Cole's no-hitter. You know, it's up there and everyone's top three for sure. It just shows what we witnessed last night was just historic. It was special. It was magic. And now tonight, Aaron Nola's going to go out there and repeat it, baby. I'm not too sure. I don't know what Aaron's going to give us tonight. Hopefully, the majority of you will be watching this the next day and Aaron Nola's just gone out and given us the seven great innings and the Phils have just wrapped up the series. Or it's the other Aaron Nola. But we're going to stay, the vibes are high. We're going to stay positive. And then the Twins arrive next time as well. That's a wrap. It was only going to be a short one. We've gone on for a lot longer than I thought we would. If you're in London this Sunday, Passyunk Avenue, Waterloo, there's going to be a few of us down there watching the Twins game. Hopefully, wrapping up another series win. Hopefully, stretching our lead even further in the wildcard places. Ryan, Liam, any other final thoughts from you guys? Ryan?
No, I just hope, I really hope that Lorenzen's here to stay in this form. You know, apparently he's changed his grip back to an old grip with the help of Caleb Cotham.
Yeah.
And he was using his changeup a lot more, 30% changeup usage, season high. So they've obviously had a few conversations about how to take this season from good to great. And I hope that we just continue with this Michael Lorenzen, because it's giving the bullpen such a break, like even just 5-6 innings from this guy. Is huge. So
I
feel great.
If he kicks on from this, just lock him up. Get him in and lock him up. He seems to love it here already. You know, when you go through that with a team, you know, it's going to be hard for him to go and go in the off season. Yeah, all right. See you later. You know, he's already starting to feel, like you said in the post-game interview, you know, he was blown away by the fans of the reception for Trey Turner, the ovations, wow. You know.
This is because he's been playing in Cincinnati and Detroit, you know.
Well, dead parks to somewhere with a better life. Yeah, I suppose that does help. But it's great. And we got to lock him up. He's got the long hair. He looks Philly. He already starting to get it. Just lock the guy up. I'm pretty sure Dave will. Liam, any other thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, I think I might have to try and stay up more for these 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock
starts. It's a trap, mate. Don't do
it. It's an 11:40 tempter tonight, Liam.
I know. It's gonna be unlike you, Liam. I'm going to probably watch a couple of innings. Look, we've had no hits.
Last night's going to catch up on us and we're going to conquer.
I you know, every night I have this battle. It gets to like, I'm at early night, I'm going to catch up on sleep, I'm fine. And it gets to like, oh, all right, I'll watch two innings. Then it's 2 a.m. Thank God these games have sped up. I tell you what, these earlier start times and the new rules of speeding up the games have been a godsend, because, you know, games like that used to go into 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Now, just watched a no-hitter, it's still 2 a.m. What a bonus. And as you were saying before the show, Ryan, there's footy games over here now going on longer than baseball games. Last night's game was 2 hours, 10 minutes.
We do. As a UK show, we need to keep an eye on this. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's getting close to baseball games being shorter than soccer games, football games. So,
sorry, soccer, yeah.
You know, we've got to, I'll keep an eye on it and I'll come back with some true stats for our next podcast.
Well, I'm at the Brighton game Saturday for the first game of the season against Luton. I'll have my watch out. I'll put a stopwatch on.
We know it's going to start at 3 o'clock. So all I want you to do is to just make a note in your phone at what the time of the ref's final whistle is.
6:10, the way these games are going. Last train out of Brighton.
Yeah, well, if you score 4 or 5 against Luton or whoever it is, then you'll be a few VAR incidents and all that.
Last week in the Championship, there's games going on to the 100th minute. we'll keep an eye on that. It'll be an interesting comparison. It's baseball, where everyone goes, oh, it's so long, 9 innings, 5 hours, is now quicker than a good old soccer game. We'll keep an eye on that. Liam, thank you for joining us, buddy. We'll get you on more often, mate. It's been great to have you on. But you had fun? What a show to be on.
Oh yeah, cool. We weren't gonna miss this one, but yeah, I'll be happy to come back and share some stuff on that. Look forward to it. Yeah, it's been long overdue, so yeah, I'll definitely make sure there's a short gap between appearances next time.
Absolutely. Are you around London Sunday?
I might be. I'll have to talk to you about that. I'll see if I can make it. Fingers crossed.
Ryan, are you making the 7-hour trip down to London from the Great Lakes?
The Great Lakes. No, it's not happening this weekend, unfortunately, at Passion, because I'm off camping in the Great Lakes, in the Lake District. So.
And for anyone who doesn't know, we're referring to the Lake District up in the Northwest.
About an hour and a half from
them.
Absolutely right.
Stunning. Oh, Lake Districts are stunning. I went many a summer holiday up there as a little lad growing up in Yorkshire. It was better than Scunthorpe and Holiday's bizarre weekend breaks we took there as kids. And Grimsby, Hull, blimey. Parents a great choice. But the legs were awesome. Anyway, we're going well off subject here. Guys.
End of the show. Ring the damn bell already.
Yeah, ring the bell. No more at Grimsby. Guys, we'll be back on Monday to hopefully review the against the Twins. And a bit of a tougher schedule coming up after that as well with the Jays coming over. But for me, Dave Shaw, it is ring the bell from Liam.
Ring the bell?
Yeah, that's right, Liam. You know
I was queuing on that. Ring the bell.
And from Ryan.
Ring the bell, boys.
Oh, boy. See you later, guys.